Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to another episode of CIO First Take here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Joining me today here in studio, Brian Rose, Senior Economist Americas, as well as Jason Dreho, Head of Asset Allocation Americas, both from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Brian, Jason, welcome back. I know you're joining our listeners, our clients, to talk about the outcome of the September FOMC meeting, as well as the press conference from Chairman Powell. We did see that the FOMC did cut rates for the first time in 4 years, and this was widely anticipated heading into the release of the statement. So to begin, we'll hear from Brian with some overall reflections, takeaways from what we indeed heard from the Fed today, and then we will pass it over to Jason for thoughts on the market response as well as investment views. So with that, Brian, Jason, welcome. Brian, I will first pass it over to you.
Thanks, Dan. Interesting developments here. The Fed opting for the larger 50 basis point cut to start with. And overall, I'd say, big picture perspective, not too surprising, in line with our expectations that the Fed would cut 100 basis points total this year and then another 100 next year. This is what the dot plot now reflects. And very, very big picture. The unemployment rate has risen more than the Fed expected, and the inflation data has been a bit better than they expected. So both sides of their dual mandate are more favorable for rate cuts. So they decided to have more front loading of the cuts. But if you look at where they expect rates and the economy and inflation to end up, it's the same as before. So, 2026... very much the same as they were looking at before, but just speeding up the, added more front loading of the cuts again because of the unemployment rate being higher and inflation better. And the, as Powell has said previously, whereas the Fed was really focused on getting inflation down up until recently, now they see the risks on the labor market and inflation as a balance. So the FOMC statement was changed to reflect this. Where it used to say inflation, now it says labor market and inflation. So they're really, equally weighting their dual mandates. And what the Fed does from here will, of course, depend entirely on how the data comes in. So if you see further weakness in the labor market, especially, I think the Fed will be very sensitive to acceleration of layoffs. Which would threaten to push the unemployment rate much higher. That would make the Fed cut more aggressively. If there's bad news on inflation, so inflation isn't slowing as much, or there's some setbacks, they can dial back and not cut as much. But again, I'd say very much in line with big picture trends in the economy, and they're going to take it meeting by meeting. So, like I said, the dot plots indicating 100 total, so 50 bips more this year and 100 basis points next. But this is all data dependent. They're going to go meeting by meeting. They're not committed to any particular path. So, we're just, like the Fed, going to have to keep a close watch on the data and try to guess how it might influence their decision. One other point I'd make is that Powell mentioned in his news conference that the beige book was part of the decision. And, it's interesting. Right now, the GDP tracking estimates are up at 3% for this quarter, but the Fed's forecasts are just sort of flat at 2% growth. And Powell said, we had 2.2% growth in the first half. This quarter is shaping out to be around the same. So I think they're not quite as optimistic interpretation of the data. And part of that is the beige book, which was really quite weak. So there's a big contrast between, say, the strength of retail sales and what the beige book is telling them. So when the Fed calls up their contacts, those contacts aren't very optimistic. They're saying things aren't that great. I think it's one of the factors that made the Fed cut 50 this time.
Well, Brian, thank you for the take on what we heard today from the Fed. It sounds like a key milestone coming up will be the September employment report. We will receive that on Friday, October 4th. So looking forward to speaking with you again once we receive that round of jobs data. So joining me to my right, as mentioned, Jason Trejo. Jason, thank you for joining us. I know you'll speak a bit about the response we've seen in markets across assets. Just looking at equity markets heading into the close, well off the high as the initial pop we saw post the decision at 2 o'clock, but talk to us a bit about how the markets are responding and CIO's current investment views.
So I'll recap kind of across asset moves, what we're seeing across different asset classes, give some perspective of what that entails, like how to interpret it, and then sort of looking forward, given what the Fed did, how does this impact kind of the outlook? And this is that we're at 3:36 p.m. on Wednesday, and like the markets, as you say, have moved around a lot since the statement during the press conference, and between now and the market close, things could certainly change. So just kind of giving a snapshot of where things are. But as you mentioned, Dan, you know, initially, you know, equities, especially during the press conference, were rallying. They were higher. The S&P at some point was up about, you know, 0.5%. Right at the moment, it looks like it's about flat. The Russell 2000 Small Cap Index, you know, also was up quite a bit more. At some point, it was close to 2% higher. Now it is down to about 70 basis points. I think the key thing there is you're seeing small caps, kind of this rotation towards kind of the more cyclical parts of the market. If you look at the sectors, similar in terms of relative performance. You know, the bottom three sectors, as of again about 15 minutes ago, were utilities, consumer staples, and real estate. These three sectors had actually performed best since the end of June through at least Monday's close. They were a little bit more defensive, more rate sensitive. So as rates come down, they would benefit. And they outperformed the markets by quite a bit. They were all up double digits, whereas the S&P was up 3%. They're lagging today, whereas consumer discretionary and tech, you know, more economically to some extent sectors are leading the way. Rates, again, interesting story that if you initially kind of they've chopped around, the 2-year was, you know, again, 15 minutes ago, was basically flat, unchanged. The 10-year was going higher. I think that's pricing in a little bit higher inflation expectations. The dollar, well, you know, was weaker than it's, you know, again, you know, it's sort of shifting around, maybe not quite as weak as it was, you know, even in 15 minutes ago, but directionally going a little bit lower. Gold was interesting. It was up quite a bit. And then it's actually kind of, you know, pulled back. The way I sort of interpret this is, and this kind of, you know, builds on stuff that, you know, Dan, you and I talked about earlier in the week in terms of end of a podcast, is that the takeaway, if I were to bottom line it from this meeting, is, you know, the Fed put is activated from the market's perspective. There are a lot of things you can point to in either the statement or the press conference. One statement to me kind of, you know, stood out when Powell, in response to a question, said, we don't think we're behind the curve. And basically by moving 50 basis points today, you can take this as a sign of our commitment not to get behind the curve. You know, something I wrote about and we talked about earlier in the week was that whether it's 50 or 25, in some way, the more important question is, when do investors have confidence that the Fed is not behind the curve, that growth is going to hold up okay, and they'll be preemptively cutting rates to ensure the soft landing. And many of his comments today were like, we don't want to basically see more labor market weakness. And that statement in particular basically says, you know, we will do what it is necessary. So we can get further economic weakness. We can get a labor report for September. That is another disappointment. But then I think what you just see then is the market pricing in very high probability, probably a 50 basis point cut in November, maybe again for December. Right now, it's about 70 basis points, you know, priced in between now and year end. So, you know, they kind of, again, provides a little bit of cushion to the equity markets. The rotation is key because it kind of goes back to, you know, what we saw the end of last week and also back in July. That when investors have confidence that if growth is holding up okay and the Fed is preemptively cutting rates to sort of ensure that soft landing continues, that's when you see this big rotation in the market. And the performance of small versus large caps, to me, is a very simple proxy for that. And today's, at least directionally, you're seeing numbers and relative performance very much consistent, you know, kind of, you know, with that. So all else equal, that is, to me, kind of, you know, positive for risk, you know, going forward. You know, something I thought would maybe investors would need to see more economic data to warrant that. It might take a strong labor market report. What we've had just in the past 3 days now is a Fed that basically has said, we want to stay ahead of the curve. We want to be preemptive to preserve the soft landing. And we've also had economic data that is, whether it's retail sales, industrial production, housing starts, you know, surprised, you know, at least modestly to the upside, but kind of reaffirmed, you know, the strength of the economy. You know, Brian alluded to perhaps that is overstating the true state, given some of the beige book commentary. Maybe the Fed doesn't believe it. But whether it's 3% tracking or, you know, even if you got 2%, that is still a good kind of growth environment. I think for the markets, if you have that, inflation is coming down and the Fed is proactive, that is a good macro combination for risk assets to continue to do well. This could all change with a bad labor market report to some extent, but I think the key thing is the Fed put is kind of activated and things have to really deteriorate to get significant economic weakness, at least in the near term.
And then, Jason, just remind us from a positioning standpoint, how should investors think about allocating at the moment? What is CIO recommending?
Well, so one of the issues that kind of that investors are confronting is that this sounds like a pretty good environment, but equities had already been pricing for a soft landing. Credit spreads have already been pricing for a lot of good news. So the question is, like, maybe not necessarily a lot of value there. Do you want to go out on the risk curve to take more risk for something? The question is, how much are you being compensated? That is something that I think we will have to kind of evaluate. For the moment, I think we still like kind of quality assets, given some of the choppiness that can still play out. You know, we're certainly not out of the woods in terms of growth slowing. And Powell was very clear. He said, we're not declaring mission accomplished on inflation. There's definitely things where there could be some scope, you know, again, for disappointment on the macro front, as we've seen multiple times, you know, over the past year. So for the moment, kind of biasing in that direction, technology is a sector we like, which is a little less macro specific for other reasons, but it is another sector that, again, is sort of benefiting today, you know, from, you know, ultimately kind of the more dovish kind of Fed commentary. So still drift towards kind of higher quality, given the overall combination of like where valuations are, where the risk return is, and given that there's still definitely still some uncertainties about how the economy will play out. But the bias, and I think where it gives us comfort, is our price target for the 1,500 at year end for the S&P or 6,200 by next June. You know, I think this is an environment that kind of reaffirms that we think there's over that horizon, you know, good upside. But in the near term, there could certainly be more choppiness and volatility.
Jason, Brian, very helpful conversation. Thank you for coming by the studio to spend some time with our listeners, our clients, keeping them informed as to CIO's current views when it comes to positioning, but timely insights into some takeaways, what we heard from the Fed today, along with the market response. And I will point out Jason's blog, The Most Important Question. As Jason cited, we did cover that blog on this week's Top of the Morning CIO Strategy Snapshot is now available up on UBS.com/CIO. Brian, I know you have a blog coming out shortly, which will recap today's FOMC meeting, so we will look forward to that as well. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.